always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I think one of the other issues that we have to pay attention to is the cost of borrowing, right? Because if you want to go and buy a home right now, or you want to sell the home you have to buy a new one, the problem is that mortgage rates are very high. 7%, some context, that's slightly higher than where things were at this point last year, twice as high as the rate was 3 years ago.
Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? No, not if you're looking to buy a home. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. This is 101.9 94.1. It's News Talk STL. It is Wednesday, June the 12th, 2024, 5:06 in the PM. I'm Tim Jones, joined, of course, by Chris Arps. How you doing today, Chris?
What clip number was that? I'm lost. Was that a sheet?
I added one.
Okay. I'm sitting here like, okay, yo. Yeah.
Sorry about that. All right. I'm going to talk about Bidenflation because that was one of the big stories today. Okay. And I didn't see one on our sheet. And so I did a quick search and I came up with that one.
Okay,
so,
God. I was tripping.
You're not having a seizure. All right. You're all right. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. I can't complain, man. It's hump Wednesday. Is this a dry hump?
It's dry.
Dry hump? Yeah, it's all good.
Vic taught me that.
Yeah. You may want to explain that because it sounds really...
So, Steve Templeton. So I know some people are like, what are you guys talking about?
I don't want to throw Steve under the bus. I think this was Matty Chambers.
Was it Matt Chambers?
I think it was Matt Chambers.
Matt Chambers. People at home and in their cars are like, when did you guys become NC-17 or R-rated? Exactly. Well, it's not our fault. Matt Chambers one day said, he was doing a weather forecast and he said, well, today's definitely a dry hump day. Do you have that clip anywhere? Is that only in Ken Williams?
Knowing Ken, he would have saved it. I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, in one of his millions of folders there, yeah, if you can find it. But it was very, very funny.
Very memorable.
I wonder if Chambers ever realized what he said. I don't know if they've ever
we squeeze
it
in a dry hump day.
Yeah.
and then to say we squeeze in a dry hump. Oh, that sounds wrong.
It really does.
Squeeze in a dry hump.
Jeff Allen loves when we get off on these tangents talking about squeezing in dry hump days.
You know, anyway, Tim, that almost sounds deliberate.
I wonder.
You know, squeeze in a dry hump.
Got to have some fun with the weather.
Right? Squeeze in a dry hump, dude.
He's very excited about it. Well,
I think it was deliberate. I don't want to get him in trouble, though.
What do you think, producer Joey V? Is this our fun weather man? Or
I think he likes to have fun. If you've seen him on, I think, Channel 4, they have Great Day St. Louis. He's one of those hosts. He's a fun guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Welcome back to the program. As Chris mentioned, and we all mentioned a couple times in the last hour, we got two awesome events coming up at the end of June. We, of course, spoke with Zach Smith. We've spoken with Joel Griffith before. We're going to have both of those guys. Yeah. The dynamic duo are going to be joining us. St. Charles Funny Bone on Tuesday, June the 25th. And then 2 days later, we got the debate watch party. That's a jam-packed week, Chris. We'll have a lot of fun times with News Talk STL Nation listeners.
I hope that we meet a lot of our old listeners who came with us over from the other station. And I hope to meet a bunch of new listeners as well. I mean, two events in 1 week. That's a great opportunity to get our people out.
Yeah, we are approaching 5,000 followers on our Facebook page, and that's just Facebook alone. Rumble, I know the Mike Ferguson, the morning show, they have a ton of listeners and followers on our Rumble page, which I think is like 16 or 17,000 followers, several thousand on our Twitter feeds. You know, however you watch us, listen to us, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever. There are thousands and thousands of people listening and watching a radio station that did not exist 3 years ago. That's really remarkable.
Joey, you look like you have some wisdom.
During yesterday's live remote at Sugar Creek Golf Course, I was the guy running the audio and the webcams, and one of Mike Ferguson's beautiful, dedicated listeners on Rumble said, move the damn camera so we can see what these candidates look like. And of course, I followed suit and I did what I was told.
Wow. What a talented audience we have. They can also like direct and produce the show as well.
They're doing production work and so on and so forth. Yeah, I'm pulling up the, I'm pulling us up on News Talk STL. Yeah, we've got thousands of followers on our Rumble channel there. So thank you.
We got on today on, the Facebook feed.
Facebook, let's see. Amy's on there.
Hi, Amy.
Yep, Amy's on there. And I'm not seeing anybody else at the moment, but I know that a lot of people are listening.
Scotty gave us a retweet on Twitter because of my beautiful artwork that I do every day with the help of AI.
Yes, and those are fantastic pictures indeed. If you have no idea what we're talking about, just jump on Facebook or Twitter X and you'll see the little meme that Joey puts. Joey, you're getting better. These look like us. They really do.
And it's, you know, amazing. What, though? I got to tell you, Joey, I was a little perturbed yesterday, though, because the memes that you make for Tim and I, those are ours. And for the broadcast yesterday, you had Stell, Mike, and Gabe with the AI memes. I got a little jealous about that. I'm like, that's our thing. What are you doing?
Well, I was invited out to Sugar Creek Golf Course, and it was wonderful to be out there. And I thought, well, let me give them a little something special to make them laugh. And everyone loved it. So I actually reused the same art with our heads later that afternoon.
We should take a vote on that, the three of us.
Who looked better, me or Stell?
I just loved how slim and svelte Stell looked. He looked like he was in his 30s or 20s or something.
Same size, beautiful cranium. Yes, very svelte.
You're like the fountain of youth over there, Joey.
AI can help. Get rid of them crow's feet.
Huge news coming out today regarding the contempt motion that was carried by the House. Merrick Garland, Attorney General Merrick Garland, properly, I believe, and I think we all believe, and Zach Smith, our legal fellow, believed, properly held in contempt by the House. We have inflationary numbers coming out. I'm going to talk about that in the stump speech. Inflation not going away continues to exacerbate American families. Chris, I played that clip coming in on homeownership because that's the American dream, right? When we say, what's the American dream? It's like, it's doing your own thing that you want to do. It's owning your own stuff. And what's one of the most important things you can do? It's own the place where you live, right? Yeah. And now that's becoming out of reach for some in the younger generations.
I mean, your home is, you hear it all the time. It's a cliche, but it's your biggest investment. It's the place where you stay there for a while. You're going to grow equity that you can use to pay for your children's education, can pay for home repair, pay for vacation, help with your retirement. And I saw a report somewhere in my stack here that was talking about how home ownership was not an option for the younger generation. And that is one major way that they can create wealth that's not available to them right now.
It's disturbing me. I mean, that's where you make so many of your memories. I have so many good memories. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a cute little bungalow or a McMansion or something in between, or a cabin in the woods or whatever. I mean, a home is where the heart is. It truly is. And when I think back over decades of life now, and the home is where you build those memories, right? With your significant other, your spouse, your friends, your family members. And, you know, you have dinner, you have important dinners around the table, you have important discussions, you have good times, bad times, but it is your sanctuary. And the fact that younger people are struggling to get to that point to even have any home, that's disturbing.
I mean, your home is your sanctuary. That's the place that you go after a hard day's work, that you know that this is my place. This is where my peace is. This is a place where you walk to the kitchen naked to get a bowl of Cheerios.
Hey, now.
You know, that's, you know, your home. Maybe that was too much information there. That was just an example. I don't actually do that.
I think Joey told us that once before.
Yeah, I think that's what Joey does.
I think we have a good soundbite to play on the way out. See if I can get it in time.
I'll drag out.
I forgot about that you monitor what we say for that. So I got to watch that.
It looks like Joey's ignoring us and completely bored with us, but he's actually listening very closely.
And I forgot about that. So that's going to be a clip that's going to live forever.
It probably will. We've got Bill Igel coming up. He's always an entertaining, informative fella. He is the state senator from the 23rd district. That's the city of St. Charles and points westward and northward in the St. Charles lands. Kind of eastern St. Charles County, to kind of give you an idea where he is. And more importantly, he's running for governor in a very spirited primary. And, you know, there's a lot of primary. We'll ask Bill a little bit about, you know, this is kind of a generational shift year, right? We've got a lot of new names. There's a ton of new names on the ballot. 5 of the 6 statewide offices are up for election. The entire Missouri House, half of the Senate. There's a congressional district, Chris. That's open. Can you believe we've had a major change in the congressional districts just in the last few years now? This will be the third third new congressman we elect. We had first we had Vicky Hartzler, who decided to run for Senate, and that we have a new congressman, Mark Alford. And then we had Eric Burleson, who succeeded Billy Long, and now we will have another new congressman. And if the polls are correct, it could possibly be Bob Onger. Mm-hmm. He does have a spirited primary as well. So we've had a big shift in a lot of things, and statewide offices are going to be all new people potentially next year.
Tim, as Freedom Caucus director, what is the, and you'd be a good person to know this, what is the future of the Republican majority, super majority? I think we're going to lose a seat in Columbia, a Senate seat. I hear that we're supposed to lose a House or Senate seat in Springfield area that was always traditionally pretty Republican. How in danger is the super majority? You can't have a super majority forever.
No.
We would like to, but we know that over time it's going to erode and things are going to happen. How far off in the distance do you see us still having a super majority or a healthy majority?
I think a healthy majority, I think, Chris, for the rest of our lifetime. The supermajority, it could be lost in a few cycles, but it also cannot be. We're going to lose, the Republicans are going to lose a seat in Columbia. They're going to pick up a seat in Independence.
Good deal.
So that's going to be an even split there. They may lose a few House seats. Look, I'll be honest with you. I sometimes wonder if we have too many Republicans running around Jefferson City and not enough movement conservatives. I think what we really need is a governor to lead, right? I don't think it, because if you have a good governor, you don't need a supermajority. You just need a willing majority. You need a governor who's going to set the stage for what we're going to do next. I don't think we've had that. Mike Parson, nice guy, but tell me what the agenda's been. I don't know that I know or anybody else over the last few years.
You know? I don't think this is an honest question, and I'm not really picking a dog in this fight and everything. Bill has been kind of contentious,
yes,
as a senator, and you said that if you have an agenda or whatever thing, you can have the legislature behind you to help enact that. You know how politics are. People hold grudges.
They do.
Will Bill be able to have the cooperation of the legislature because of what's happening in the past? Because you know, people in politics hold grudges for a long time.
But a lot of those people that he fought the most hardest with are gone now. Okay. They're termed out. I think he will have good relationships with the House. The new majority leader is a very good guy and a very staunch conservative, Alex Riley. Alex Riley will be the majority leader coming in 2025. The Speaker of the House has been someone who's worked with Bill. If Bill's governor, there'll still be some contention between him and Cindy O'Loughlin, but we don't know who the majority leader in the Senate is going to be. That has not been decided yet. That's completely up for grabs. There's a lot of names in that bucket, by the way, of who could be the next majority leader in the Senate.
I mean, because we see that a little bit with Grydens. Grydens came in with kind of a populist wave. I'm going to change things. I'm going to shake everything up. And then at the beginning of his term, he's calling people, telling them, doing a house of cards routine, telling people that you're going to vote the way I am. You're scared of me and all that. And in the end, when you look back in retrospect on it, he had just ticked off so many people in the legislature and had just made so many enemies. And it was kind of the thing where the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So your enemies, they bound together to take you out because it's in their interest, even though their interests may not always align.
Yeah, Senator Igel definitely wears his passions on his sleeve. He's a very passionate guy. He's a very committed guy. But I think his agenda, it will be nothing crazier than a traditional Republican agenda. I think we've gotten away from that the last few cycles, and it's been all about personality. I'd like to get back to those policy discussions. With the few minutes we got left in this segment, I'm going to talk about a policy position that the Bidens have had problems with, and that is the ever-increasing scourge of Bidenflation.
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Despite the spin of the Biden administration as to the economy, the only thing they're really able to talk about is unemployment numbers. Now, unemployment on one hand appears to be decent. Unemployment numbers are at lows. But if you look at employment participation rates and if you look at full-time employment, those numbers tell a different story. It appears that there are less people actually working, and the people that are working more and more jobs. So is that really a good employment situation? Many would say it's not. That's about the only thing, though, that they can argue for, because Bidenflation, the inflation that was caused by Joe Biden's ridiculous spending plans, is not going away. As much as the White House now wants to ignore it, pretend that it's something different, pretend that it's better, it's not. Year-over-year inflation, folks, today clocked in at 3.4% as of May 31st, 2024. No change from the previous month, which means it's not cooling. Well above the Fed's target rate of 2%, and even more above where inflation was when Donald Trump left office. Guess what that was? 1.8. There was no significant inflation under Donald Trump, and he had better employment numbers to boot. The actual consumer price index, you know, the one that's based on the stuff that we actually have to buy, all the things that we need to buy on a daily basis, the things the middle class has to rely upon, it reached a new all-time high again, underscoring the devastating effects of the cumulative price hikes that the Biden administration has wrought on the middle class. The subject of today's speaker stump speech, as I said, Biden inflation continues to bust the middle class. I think that was exactly as intended. You can't have a thriving representative democracy when you have a vibrant middle class. I'm sorry to tell you this. The Biden White House, the leftist progressives that run it, they don't want a vibrant middle class. They want to crush it. And to prove that point, how about the fact that overall prices under the consumer price index are up 20%? Now you're like, well, Tim, you just told me inflation is at 3.4. Yeah, you have to compound it because that's what inflation does. It was like 9 or 10% at one point in 2022, I believe. And yes, it has cooled, but it hasn't dropped. So if inflation on a certain good was 5%, let's say inflation on milk was 5% last year, and it was 5% this year. Well, then overall, guess what? Milk is up 10% over 2 years. See how that works? It's very simple math. Overall prices up 20%. Gas still at historic highs, up 55% over the last 3.5 years. Airfare costs, if you want to get away for a summer vacation, you're going to pay 40% more than you did when Donald Trump left office. Electricity prices, we all have to heat and cool our homes, up nearly 30%. Rent. So if you're thinking, oh, well, I can't afford a mortgage right now, so I'll just rent. Well, you're still going to pay 20% more for rents than you did back in 2020. Grocery prices overall, every single time you go to the grocery store, Chris and I don't do a ton of grocery shopping, but even we've noticed that we're getting 20% fewer items in our baskets because grocery prices are up 21.2% under Joe Biden. If you look at some more, if you look a little further down, I've got this gigantic chart. It's about, let's see, I don't know. I can't even count it that fast. It's got about 75 items in here. Everything on this chart. So it ranges from gas up 55%, as I mentioned to you, at the very top of the chart. And then there's like 1,000 items. And then you go to the bottom of the chart, vehicle parts. So if you have to fix your car, vehicle parts, equipment other than tires, up 20%. So the minimum price increase on this chart is an increase of 20% over the last 3.5 years. The maximum price is 65% for food at elementary and secondary schools. So all the food that schools are having to buy and then reselling to kids is up 65%. Energy commodities up 53%. Lodging away from home, like again, vacation up 45%. Energy itself up over 40%. These are all the costs that impact the middle class. The destruction of the American dream is something that is real, not imagined, under Joe Biden. It was exactly their intent and their purpose. They want to create this leftist social utopia. Folks, even if you don't like Donald Trump and you got Trump derangement syndrome, do you want to continue to live under an America under decline? Or do you want to try to, I'm sorry, make America great again? I hope you choose the latter. And that's Speaker Stump Speech for today. Next up, Chris, we're going to speak to gubernatorial candidate Bill Igel about all the issues that he is hearing about from Missourians here as he crisscrosses the state.
Let's do it.
We're going to talk to him next on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. And then at 5:45, Chris has got all the teaser items for Larry Connors. He's going to tell you everything Larry's going to talk about at 6:05 and anything we may have missed. Next, 101.9, 94.1, News Talk, STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
4,000 square feet at the corner of a busy intersection of Tucker and Convention Center. This is the new home for the city's police bike unit. St. Louis City Police say this move into the new substation location is part of a larger plan to address the perception and reality of downtown safety. The move comes at zero cost to taxpayers, and the hope is to improve safety in the area.
This new location is set to open late this summer or early in the fall.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9 941 News Talk STL. Crime, law and order will definitely be one of the issues, Chris, front and center during the election year 2024 here in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, it's nice to see the police become proactive to try to patrol areas down by the St. Patrick Center, down by the murder gas station where we witnessed that murder last year on tape, to try to get a hold of it. Washington Avenue is a zoo on Friday, Saturday nights. So it's good to see them be proactive. I hope it works.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring in our next guest to see what's on his platform and his plans if he's elected governor of the state of Missouri. The August 6th primary is right around the bend. He joins us once again here on the big program, Missouri State Senator Bill Igel at BillIgel.com. Senator, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us once again.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Bill, I'm sure you're hearing about issues of crime, about illegal immigration on the campaign trail. What are you hearing from Missourians, and what are you telling them that you would do if you were elected governor to lead on this issue?
Well, yeah, absolutely. We're hearing about crime. In fact, we've been hearing about crime, especially in our urban areas, for more than a generation. In fact, now not only do we have St. Louis City on one side of the state that's been leading the nation in violent crime for decades and decades, we now have Kansas City that's climbing up the rankings and is now in the top 25 for violent crime in America. Both of our urban areas are in the top 20 for violent crime. In the meantime, we know that the Democratic regimes in charge of these cities aren't going to do anything. That's been borne out year after year. They've tried defunding their police. They've tried massive policies of simply not putting bad guys in jail. The real question is, when are the Republicans who are in charge in Jefferson City, who are ultimately responsible for any of these local governments not wanting to do their job, when are they going to get involved? And I'll tell you, I've been pretty clear that under an Igel administration, one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to order the highway patrol into tripling their presence on the highways leading into and out of St. Louis City and Kansas City. They're using these highways as conduits of criminal activity. We actually had a specific task force set up to address the crime that's going on our highways and that's getting out into the suburban and rural areas back in 2017 before Mike Parson got into office. But when he came in office, he stepped back. He canceled that program. So we're going to be aggressive about putting law enforcement where crime is actually happening. Secondly, why don't we hold these local regimes accountable for just not putting bad guys in jail? Mm. Every year, the state is sending billions and billions of tax dollars to a whole bunch of projects down in St. Louis City that get spent on welfare programs or other boondoggles that Tashara Jones or Quentin Lucas thinks is a good idea. How about if they don't want to actually defend their citizens, why don't we just go ahead and not send them any more of our tax dollars? You want to get a local area's attention pretty quick? Threaten them where it hurts. That's the money.
Senator, Governor Parson announced today that he was going to slash some of the spending in the budget that was sent to him last May. I think it's safe to assume that some of those items that he's going to slash are items that are important to you and some of the other Freedom Caucus members. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, we never know what to expect from Mike Parson when it comes to the finances of this state. First of all, Mike Parson is the guy that on one hand has grown state spending more in the past 6 years of his administration than all the Democratic governors combined. So I've lost very quickly my faith or confidence that Mike Parson is ever going to be an actual sane fiscal steward for the state of Missouri. So let's go ahead and just throw that out the window right now. Now, you're right. He's always used his veto pen not as a mechanism to actually instill more discipline in the state budget, but he's always used it as a punitive mechanism to punish those that he views as his political enemies. So guys like myself who have been pretty outspoken about his negligence when it comes to the finances, yep, he takes it out on the people that I represent, whether it's in St. Charles or elsewhere. So we're not going to see anything positive from Mike Parson. We're not going to see anything positive from this administration on the finances of the state. The government continues to be twice the size it was just a few years ago. That's not what the Republicans were promised. Under an Igel administration, we're going to cut the budget starting with the budget we recommend, which will be 25% less or more than what Mike Parson has asked for. So he's not credible on this issue. The sooner we get him out of office, the sooner we can hope that we can actually restore some fiscal sanity. And maybe with the surpluses we'll achieve, maybe we'll cut the tax burden like income tax cuts and personal property tax cuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Senator, what is the overall strategy for getting Missouri moving forward again? You know, I keep hearing this all the time from the liberals and the media. Hey, you Republicans have been in, you've been in charge now for approximately 22 years, and Missouri is just kind of in a middling state, right? Now, our suburban areas and our rural areas have definitely grown. I mean, look at your county of St. Charles. It's booming. Southwest Missouri doing well. But as we've just discussed, our urban areas and some of our suburban inner suburban core are being hollowed out because, unfortunately, they're largely governed by local left-wing progressive policies. Senator, I've said it's because we haven't been Republican enough. We still have a very high tax. Everybody thinks Missouri is a low tax state. It's not true at all, is it? We have a very high tax burden. When you put it all in, we have a very ridiculous personal property tax. Our income tax rate is still higher than many of our neighbors, even Illinois, because they have a flat tax that's a little bit lower than us. We're not a right-to-work state. There's a lot of things we haven't done, and we've almost squandered this Republican supermajority, haven't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, Tim, the problem is that we really haven't had Republicans in charge for the past 22 years. We've had Democrats and rhinos in charge for 22 years. Of course, those are Republicans in name only, and I really don't. I don't know what else to call Republicans like Mike Parson and Lincoln Huff, that's the Senate Appropriations Chairman, who have doubled the size of government, who have put a tax burden on the people of this state that is twice what other states like Florida and Texas and Tennessee are paying. So guess what? Guess where all the economic activity is going because of the failed center-left policies of the Parson administration down in Jefferson City? Well, they're going to these other big red states. That's why we haven't gotten rid of personal property tax. That's why we haven't gotten rid of income tax. I'm simply saying that when I get in there with the help of the people of this state, we're going to get rid of personal property tax. We're going to get rid of income tax. We're actually going to start doing all the things that we actually talk about in campaign season. And the crazy thing is, as I've traveled the state, most Republicans are unconsciously aware of what's going on. Even if they can't point to the specific thing or put their finger on specific policies all the time, they know that we're not doing the big red things because they turn on their TV in the morning and they just see about all the great things happening in Texas or with a Ron DeSantis down in Florida. They want those things to happen here. And right now, our country is being won over by a guy by the name of Donald J. Trump, who is talking about being a disruptor and a breaker of the status quo in Washington, D.C. I just happen to think that's exactly what we need in Jefferson City. And if we get that person, not only are we going to be an excellent partner to Donald J. Trump, you know, as we disrupt the status quo in Jefferson City, Missouri is going to be a leader in this country. You want to start seeing Missouri growing? You want to start seeing more employees available to be hired by our small business owners that are so desperate for help? We've got to start implementing the policies that have made those other states successful. They don't have personal property tax. They don't have income tax. Missouri needs to get rid of those as well. We just got too many rhinos down in Jefferson City that won't let us get there.
Senator, yesterday the state of Missouri executed David Hozier, who was convicted of killing a former lover and her husband. This was the 10th person that has been executed under Governor Parson's tenure. I know each individual case is unique, but can you see yourself ever granting a condemned inmate clemency?
It's possible. I mean, I take each of those cases seriously. In fact, I've already called for a pardon of Kansas City Police Officer Eric DeBalcanaire for a crime that he is sitting in jail for right now that I believe was absolutely an unjust verdict that was handed down by a court in the midst of the George Floyd era. So there are absolutely instances where the governor of the state may need to intervene, and of course we'll take those as they come. I've already made a commitment actually to pardon Officer DeBalcanaire in my first week of office. So yeah, I think that we would take a look at that, but don't mistake that to mean that we're going to be soft on any of these criminals that have committed violent crime. They're going to go through the process and they're going to pay for the crimes that they commit. So I think that I'd like to see a more aggressive approach to law enforcement in this state, especially in our urban areas. So maybe we can prevent some of these crimes from happening in the first place, and we won't have this question about the death penalty quite as much as we do right now.
speaking to Missouri State Senator Bill Eigel. He is candidate. He's one of the candidates for governor here in the state of Missouri. That election, folks, right around the bend, barely 50-some-odd days away on Tuesday, August the 6th. He's at Bill Eigel on Twitter. Senator, you know, for all of the folks who have complained about some of the aspects of the Freedom Caucus, when you look at the bills that were passed this last legislative session, there weren't a ton of them, but weren't there some key ones that had been bottled up in the pipeline for years? I'm thinking defunding Planned Parenthood, the anti-ranked choice voting bill. The good things that did get across the finish line were actually all Freedom Caucus priorities, and the things that died probably needed to die the death they did, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the Freedom Caucus was out there securing spending cuts to the budget. It was the first time that we saw spending cuts to the annual budget, even though it still remains a mess. We've never been able to secure spending cuts before. We did that, and that was courtesy of the Freedom Caucus, of course. A lot of the bad bills that would have just expanded government even further, even when they were being proposed by Republicans, it was the Freedom Caucus that was there on the front lines defending our freedom, defending our liberties. And yeah, you know, I have this theory that the only people that are actually complaining about the Freedom Caucus standing in the way of these bad bills and derailing bad legislation and getting the few victories that we have are the insiders in Jefferson City that want the status quo to remain exactly what it is. So if you hear somebody out there and they're worried about, well, you know, I don't know if these Freedom Caucus guys are being too mean to the other insiders in Jefferson City, rest assured, we're not going to good cop our way to prosperity down in Jefferson City, because the status quo doesn't want to let go of power. They want to have the same Missouri that we have right now, with the go-along, get-along mentality, where nothing changes and we continue to stagnate and just meander our way along, falling and trailing behind the other states. Because in that environment, it's easier for them to just build their grip off the tax dollars that they're now getting at a record amount. We're not going to do that. We're going to be bold about the initiatives that we want to push. You can bet I'm going to be getting up early in the morning to kick over some apple carts to the powerful down in Jefferson City when I'm their governor. And I'm not going to apologize for it, because I don't work for all those insiders in Jefferson City. I work for the people of the state, and I'm ready to take the bullets and slings and arrows on behalf of every single one of the 6 million people that live in the Show Me State.
Senator, before we close out here, let's go on the political front. I've been in politics for a long time, and I don't think I've ever seen a battle of Missouri ethics complaints between campaigns. Not saying your campaign is involved with it or the other campaigns, but there's been ethic complaints filed against Jay Ashcroft. There's been ethics complaints filed against your campaign as well, but no ethics complaints filed against Lieutenant Governor Kehoe so far. Your thoughts on this process?
Yeah, I've seen these ethics complaints. They're silly. They're nonsense. They're being filed by some of the biggest well-known supporters of my opponents. In fact, I think supporters of Governor Kehoe filed both of the ethics complaints against the secretary and myself. And I think this really just indicates that Mike Kehoe has nothing to talk about. He has nothing to talk about the vision for a better Missouri and what it looks moving forward. He's trying to get caught up in these political games of pointing the finger at somebody else. And really, it's just a distraction that he's been the most liberal Republican statewide office holder we've had, right up there alongside of Mike Parson in our state history. That's why he's been voting for big tax increases. That's why he's been voting for more government. And he knows that if people talk about that, he doesn't stand any chance of being governor. So, of course, he's going to try to distract. He's going to try to cast shadows on his opponents. I just think that I'd like to keep the conversation about where we want to go with Missouri. I'm talking about Missouri where we're deporting illegals. I'm talking about a Missouri where we're going to get rid of personal property tax. I'm talking about a Missouri where we're going to protect Missouri farmland. And I know, and the people of the state know, that they can't compete in that conversation because they have no vision for the future. So I'm not going to be distracted. Life is good. Let's go, Missouri.
Senator, before we let you go, what can you tell us about the state of the race from everything you've seen and heard and what you're seeing on the ground? And how can folks find out more about your campaign?
Well, we're really seeing the message of my opponents come unraveled, because the only message they've had against me for the past 2 years is that this idea that, oh gosh, Bill Eigel can't win because he doesn't have enough name ID or he doesn't have enough money from the special interest in his bank account. But the reality is we just got polling. We've gotten two polls now in the past 2 weeks that have shown me closing the gap, which started by more than 40 points 2 years ago. It's down to single digits and almost inside the margin of error. Those guys, the Secretary Ashcroft and Mike Keogh, they know they're losing. That's why they're doing, whether it's these MEC reports or doing anything to avoid talking about the issues, they know they're losing. We're going to win on August 6th. BillEigel.com. Check it out.
Here we go. Senator Bill Eigel at BillEigel.com, at Bill Eigel on Twitter. Senator, thanks so much. Good luck on the campaign trail. Stay safe and well.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he goes. And just like that, Chris, it's 5:44, almost 5:45 in the p.m. We have one segment left.
One segment left during Dry Hump Wednesday.
That's right, indeed. We'll make sure you have everything you need to know for that and more. And Larry Connors USA coming at you at 6:05. We've got all the details on what Larry's going to be talking about this evening as well. Stay right here. There's lots more straight ahead here at 101.9 94.1. This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I give you the number one ranked eater in the world, Joey Chestnut!
But this 4th of July, the feeding frenzy's most famous mouth won't be defending his mustard yellow belt. Major League Eating, which organizes the event, says Chestnut is unable to compete because of his new partnership with Impossible Foods, which launched a plant-based hot dog this year. But Chestnut says he was banned, writing on social media, "I do not have a contract with MLE or Nathan's, and they are looking to change the rules from past years as it relates to other partners I can work with."
5:50 on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. Welcome home, Tim, as they are our resident legal fellow here on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. Does Nathan have a legal case there? He doesn't have a contract with any of these brands. Can they stop him from signing this contract with this vegan hot dog?
Well, I mean, it sounds like he is a sponsor of vegan stuff, and Nathan's probably has something in their agreements that says you can't participate. I think Nathan's can prevent him from participating. I think that would be a shame. That'd be a travesty. Can't they work this out for the good of all of us? I mean, how boring is it going to be now to not watch Joey Chestnut?
Yeah, some guy, instead of winning it with eating 73 hot dogs, it'll be a guy that wins eating it with only 70. Bye. Mm-hmm. You know, this fascinated me when I heard about this story yesterday. And, you know, like, sometimes I forget we have the internet and you can look up anything you want to know. So I was curious. It was like, how in the hell do people eat 75 freaking hot dogs? And they don't look the contestants don't ever look obese or fat and everything. And so I looked it up, and it's very interesting. These people actually train to do this. They are professionals. What they do, Tim, is they practice eating so much that they expand their stomachs.
Mm.
And their stomachs expand permanently. And doctors and medical professionals say that could be dangerous in the long run, because your stomach doesn't retract back in. It stays expanded like that. So yeah, I always wonder, like, how in the world do you eat 75 freaking hot dogs? How do you eat that much? Now, I can see why Nathan, or who's this guy, Joey Chestnut. I can see why Joey Chestnut probably took this deal. He's probably making a pretty good sum of money to promote this. Tim, did you know that the Nathan hot dog contest winner, first prize, you get $10,000?
That's
second,
it?
Second prize, $5,000. Third prize, $2,500, $1,500, and $1,000, all the way down to fourth prize. So he's winning $10,000 a year on the 4th of July contest. Now, he enters other contests, too, to make money, but they're probably paying him a couple $100,000, $100,000 maybe. So I traded in, right?
Yeah, it's all about the sponsorships.
It's all about the sponsorships.
Now, producer Joey V is the skinniest guy I know, but I'll bet you he can put down 70-some-odd hot dogs.
As long as he expands his stomach, Joey could do it.
It looks like it's $1.2 million endorsement deal.
Whoa, yeah.
4 years.
Yeah, so that's a quarter of a million every year.
That's a pretty easy decision.
He's obviously an athlete. They did an ESPN 30 for 30 doc on him. I mean, that's all you need for cred. That is an athlete's body right
there. And they do. I mean, they actually train to do this. It's not an easy feat, as we can see every 4th of July, to put down that many hot dogs.
And he's not a fat guy at all. He's kind of a large man, but he's not fat or anything. He's got some kind of weird talent. Kind of like you, Joey, with avocados.
Yeah, thank you. He should do a Twitch stream. You know, that's for gamers. gamers, video gamers. Mm. He should just do a live Twitch stream on 4th of July, right when the actual hot dog eating contest is happening. And he'll make $100,000 just doing that.
What I was reading, your body shape has nothing to do with this. It's the ability to be able to expand your stomach beyond its regular size. And you train yourself to do that. And,
fascinating.
And you can do that. Joy, let's play number five here. This was kind of disturbing somewhat.
A viewer capturing William Hendon, who was wearing a Johnny Bench jersey, running onto the field at Great American Ballpark last night. Hendon approached a Cleveland Guardians player, and then he did a backflip. Police were in pursuit and eventually used a taser to bring the situation under control. Now, Hendon made his first court appearance this morning, and his moves on the field were a key part of his conversation with Judge Mallory.
Hi, Mr. Hendon.
How are you?
Have you seen any of the videos that people captured?
No.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Everybody thinks you landed that backflip.
Pretty sure I did.
Hendon's attorney said his client is going to be a sophomore at Ohio State University, adding that he's on the dean's list.
You know, as a 70s and 80s kid, it's almost sacrilegious to tase a guy wearing a Johnny Bench. The great Johnny Bench's jersey, 22-year-old college kid. You know, we've seen this all the time back in the day. There used to be a woman in the 70s, late 70s or 80s. Her name was Garjana or something. And she had like humongous fake boobs. And she would run out on the field and would kiss the players and hug the players. And
I mean,
they were just so enormous that you knew they were fake. They were just
comical
looking. Yeah. And that was the big deal for her. So, taser seems a little overkill, I think. Don't you?
I mean, I love that the judge was a fan of this guy's viral video. He had seen him do the backflip and get tased, and he was just laughing in court along with him. It's a great video. I highly recommend it. Best 10 seconds you'll spend today watching.
Check it out.
Gonna tell him a good deal for landing the backflip. Mm-hmm. So I guess
I can't believe it.
He was, 10 out of 10.
He was 1 foot away from a cop who just like boom. Good thing he pulled out the taser and the other gun.
Yeah, because that's happened. A woman, I think, in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. She was a police officer, and they were subduing a suspect, and she pulled out the gun instead of the taser, and ended up killing this person. Oh no, it was I think a female did it, but it was I remember now. It was in Oklahoma, and it was an elderly guy that was a reserve deputy. Mm-hmm. And he was out with the police force that day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he wasn't out there all the time, wasn't used to using the equipment. And he pulled out the taser or the gun instead of the taser and shot perfect. And killed someone. His regular job, he was like an insurance agent or something. He was playing cop. And unfortunately, took someone's life, Tim.
Training is extremely important.
Training is everything is important. We've got, of course, Larry Connors USA coming up next. I did have up Larry. Larry's going to talk about Joe Biden lecturing on guns, but conveniently fails to mention Hunter Biden's felony conviction. And A.G. Garland fires back at his critics and writes a column that might be considered threatening. That's coming up on Larry Connors USA from 6 to 8. You have been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Number one for live and local conservative talk, Soros Free Radio. Drive safe and have a great evening.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.